So welcome back, everybody. I'm thrilled how many of you have returned. And I know some of you are probably not on the chat, and a lot of you are in the chat, which is great. If you want to be on the chat and you're not, join us, awakeningbusiness.com/WW Live. You should have that in all the emails I've sent you, but just in case, okay? So welcome to everybody. This is the Wiser and Wilder Fire Circle, the fourth call, and the fourth time we're gathering together around the fire today. I'm thrilled. This is Kaya Singer, and this is my vision. You know, we're talking about visions and how you can walk your own soulful path. And this was my vision. I mean, there's nothing I love more than being with women around a fire circle. It's beautiful. So before I jump into our opening ritual we're going to do, I just want to bring on Susanna and Jocelyn just really quickly to say hi. Jocelyn, are you there? Can you bring your voice in? Okay. How about Susanna? Are you there?
Yes, here's my voice. Hello, everyone.
Hey, hi, Susanna. And Jocelyn, I don't know where you are, so I know you were here, so I'm just going to write a note to you in the chat. Whoops. I can't talk and write at the same time. Okay, so I'm sure she's here. She's just probably double multitasking, which is what she does, so really well. Okay, so this is exciting. I want to welcome all of you here, whether Jocelyn, if you are here and you can say hello on the phone for a second, that would be great. Your voice.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you.
Yay. Technology's
Yay,
working
okay.
again.
Yeah, I understand. I just wanted to have everybody to hear your voice, so thank you. Okay, so we're going to get started. With my opening ritual, which is a little bit different today. They're always sort of similar, but different, okay? So I want to include our whole circle, which is, way over 300 women now. It's, you know, more like 370 or something, and it keeps growing. So, and I know many of you are here on live. Some of you are on the chat. Some of you are listening. Others of you are listening on the recording. But we're all together. Through time and space, and I love that. So what we're going to do right now is just be around the fire together for our opening ritual. And today we're building the fire out on the beach. And this is a beach at low tide. So the water is way out there, and, you know, we're gathering in a circle, and there's tons of driftwood on the beach. And we're all together picking up pieces of driftwood and putting them in a pile in the center that we're going to start the fire with. So, you know, bring some driftwood over, put them in the pile in the middle, and then find your seat around the circle. You may be sitting on the sand, which is lovely. You might be sitting on a log, and your feet, you know, no shoes on, so you can feel the sand under your feet, which is a beautiful feeling, right? I mean, I love that. And the fire is starting, and you're seeing it just the dry driftwood just lighting up and sparkly, and you can see the other women across the circle from you, and everybody is just feeling great. You know, it's just this beautiful night. You look up in the sky, and you see the stars. And there's nothing better than being with women from all over the world, right? And yet we're still able to be around this fire together. It's just beautiful, right? Really, really nice. So what I want you to do now is just where you're sitting around the fire, notice the driftwood laying around you. There's different pieces of different sizes. And what I'm going to ask you to do is just notice one that jumps out at you that you're going to keep. This one's not going to be burned. It's going to be your talking stick. Special piece of driftwood that calls to you. It might be because of the shape of it. It might be because of the feeling of it in your hand. But just bring it back to where you're sitting and hold on to it and just feel it in your hand, right? That that, you know, driftwood often is smooth, you know, because it's been bounced around and, you know, floating in the tide and for who knows how long, right? Long time. But, you know, you'll find that place where you hold it and it feels really good. And a talking stick, I know in a traditional sense, it's when you pick up a stick and you stand in the fire and outside the fire in a circle, and it's your time to open your voice, right? And it's your time to say something that's bubbling up inside of you that you feel is something you need to share. And today what we're going to focus on is, you know, what is your soulful vision? What is your soulful vision that you're meant to really bring to the world? And all of you have that, and you know what it is. And it's something that it could be your legacy that you're meant to leave in the world. It might be the one thing that you feel is yours to share. And it's not about coming from your ego. It's not about being driven by money. It's just the truth. It's your spirit speaking to you and saying, this is my piece of the pie. This is what I am meant to bring forward. And some of you may not know how you're going to bring forward that yet, or some of you have been bringing it forward, but it's getting more crystal clear. That piece is getting more crystal clear. And it's less about what you're meant to do, and it's more about who you are. You know, it's who you're meant to be. It's that beingness that lives inside of you, that if you're standing up and holding on to your talking stick, you're being that person right there. And it's sort of the energy moves through Mother Earth, you know, through your feet, and goes through your chakras and through your mouth, and it's how you're meant to speak out in the world, that voice that you're meant to open. And your voice is more than just your speaking voice. It's what you're meant to write. It's, you know, it's all different kinds of communication, really. And it's the message that you're meant to put out. So hold on to your talking stick and look at it and feel it. And you may be thinking of designs you want to put on it. You might want to draw on it. You may want to add beads to it. You might want to wrap it with leather or ribbons. But it's something that is especially yours. So just be with that right now. And if there's one word that really exemplifies your voice, your visionary, soulful voice right now, that's your wisdom word for today. It's the word that's going to come out of your talking stick that you know is going out to the world. So if you're in the chat, please write that in. Write your word in. And all these words are going to go into my painting that I'm going to do, which I know is going to be phenomenal. If you're not in the chat, bring it to the Facebook page, okay? And that's facebook.com/groups/wiserandwilder. And it's in your emails as well, okay? So far, some of you are writing your books, your words in the chat, unity, embodiment, authenticity. If you're on the recording, listening to the recording right now, you can bring your word forward into the Facebook group anytime. We're collecting those all. And I'm very excited about this because the painting that I'm creating is going to have all of your energy in it, be very collaborative, and some of you who have given me some designs you've done, they're going to go in there as well. So it can be a different word than what you've already put in there. Yes, you can have multiple words that you're offering. You can offer a word each time we're meeting. Yay, so isn't that lovely? Because the word you may have put in once was true for that day. But this is a new fire circle today in a way, so you can add another one. If you don't want to, it's fine, too. So it's totally fine, whatever you do. Joyful authenticity, personal power, worthiness. Yay, abundance. Some great words we're getting today from all of you. It's beautiful. And you may not have that word immediately, and you can come into the Facebook group and offer it later, or anytime during our call today, you can put it in the chat. Yeah. Deep belonging, awakening to unity. Yeah, there's so many. I can really hear all of your strength with this, the steadfastness. Thank you. And really, this was my vision for, you know, this is my little story here that I'm going to tell you before I introduce our two amazing people today, Susanna and Jocelyn, is that, and I've given you parts of the story before, you know, but, you know, this is a piece of it, though, because when I, in writing my book, I got clear about my own voice, and sometimes I've heard people say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to say yet, so I have to wait. And I would encourage you all to not wait, because it's when I started writing the book that it started coming out. Does that all make sense to you? I mean, really, when I started writing the book, I thought, what am I going to say? What do I need to say to the world? I actually should have known, in a way, should have, but I didn't. You know, it's true. It wasn't until I really held my own talking stick, and I was at the beach many times, or up in the forest at Brighton Bush Hot Springs, and walked the labyrinth there at Brighton Bush, asking. And as I asked, I got that clarity that you're all getting right now. And the words came from that place, right? And I tell people I feel like my book was channeled, because really I had to be in the zone before the words would come out. And I did write another book some years ago, and it's not that it's wrong or bad, it just wasn't really my voice. It was something that I thought I needed to do in order to be successful at business, write a book. So I wrote it. What was truthful is that when it came to doing this particular event here, which is also known as my book launch, right, I was back at the same place again. Well, I don't know how to do this, you know, and I started looking at what other people did when they did these kind of launches and thought, well, I could copy theirs, but it's not mine then. And about 6 years ago, I did a tele-summit. You all know what those are. It's similar to what I'm doing now, but in a different way. And it wasn't really me. And it was so much work and so much stress that I thought, I'm never doing this again. And then when I realized I needed to do this again, I realized that the difference was I had to be completely myself, right? As you were all saying here, I needed to be in my personal power, authenticity, belonging. For me, it had to be collaborative. I wanted to be in community and feel that sense of everybody being with me. And so it hasn't been as much work. It hasn't been as hard. And that's what I wanted to share with you today, is that when you're really standing in this place that you're all getting to right now, of that alignment, following your soul, your spirit, your truth, it isn't as hard, because you're not trying to be somebody you're not. Yay, if you understand what I've just said and you're in the chat, raise your hand and say, yes, I get it, because I like to hear that I'm making sense to people. It's good. Yeah, it's really true. Yeah, and yeah, I know a lot of you have lived it yourself, which is great. And yeah, and I'm excited. I mean, this is my voice that I need to be putting out, creating these kind of circles for women. And the book was an opportunity for me to do that. So if you haven't got my book yet, this is the time to get it. You can order it early right now before it's printed, and you're going to get it signed, right, which is really cool. So you can click that red thing in the red banner in the chat, or just go to wiserandwilder.com, and you can get it. So great. I'm going to, Suzanne, I love it. You said you wish I'd written it a decade ago, because I could have used it. Yeah, and that's what I wrote in my introduction to the book, by the way, that this is the book that I was looking for 20 years ago and couldn't find. And it's like, okay, I have to write it myself. Seriously. Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe I could have written it a decade ago. It's like, who knows? We have to be who we are when we're there, you know? And that's the point. We do what we need to do, exactly who we are at the time. Yeah. So, yay. Okay. So I'm going to introduce my two guests today, Fire Circle Leaders, I call them, Jocelyn and Susanna. And I'm really excited. Everybody I've had on this with me in these circles have been amazing. Right? I mean, every single person has brought some juice to it that has been really special. So I'm going to repeat the question that all my people have been given. And And I've given the question to all of you as well, because although I'm having Suzanne and Jocelyn address this question today, all of you, this question is for all of you as well. So some of you can tell your own story in the chat, definitely in the Facebook group, your own blogs, wherever you go, right? But it's about your voice and coming out there. And there's no better way than telling a story, right? So the question, is this better now? Susanna, can you hear me better? Okay, good. So this is a question that I've been giving everybody. Thinking back to when you first began in business, what was one challenge you had, and how were you able to access your own inner wisdom to help you through it? How was this like walking through the fire, and what did you learn from it? How does this make a difference now, many years later, and how do you still use that wisdom piece to keep you aligned and on track? And I've given, you know, both Susanna and Jocelyn, you know, the space to answer it their way. The main thing is to give a piece of a story, you know, so people can really connect with you and that piece. So, Susanna, I'm going to bring you on first if you're ready.
Sure. How do I sound? Can you hear me good?
Yeah, I can hear you well, and I'm going to do a little introduction for you first, and I'm only bringing you on first because I have that paper in front of me. So, first, so Susanna Mehta, PhD. I love that you're a PhD. I don't remember what you're a PhD in, but that's kind of cool. And you can write it in the chat if you want to. You know, why not? If I had a PhD, I'd put that in my thing as well. So I think it's great. But Susanna's a wild woman alchemist, right? That's much cooler to me. And a contemporary shaman. She mentors visionaries who care deeply about the future of our world, helping them to create the soul-satisfying sense of alignment that comes from growing financially flourishing, world-changing business, doing their great work. And that's a part of her bigger mission, right? One of Susanna's many gifts is helping transformative entrepreneurs turn the raw material of their calling into a business that sustainably generates a generous income, all while partnering with the soul of their business, serving from the heart, leading from the sacred feminine. Yay. I mean, I've heard this before, and of course a lot of us have some of these same visions, which is amazing. You know, it's not really amazing, it's the synchronicity of the world right now, right? It's beautiful. And I've known Susanna for, I don't know, a few years. We met at a coaching retreat workshop and connected there, and we've been friends ever since. And we've talked on the phone and shared about our own businesses, helped each other. It's a really special relationship we have. So I'm thrilled that you're here, Susanna. And right from the beginning, I knew you would be one of the people sitting around this fire with me. So thank you so much.
Mm.
So I'm going to pass the microphone to you to share your story. You have, 10, 15 minutes at the most. So
okay.
Go for it.
Great. I will. And, yes, I also knew, like, when you put out the invitation, I was like, well, of course I'm going to be there. So, all right. So thinking back to when I began in business, what was a challenge I had and how did I move through it with my inner wisdom? So, when I first started my business, there's lots going on. And so I experienced several challenges. And some of them were easily resolvable. Like, for instance, let's just say I didn't know a whole lot about how to start a business or run it or successfully market it online, you know, as a transformative coaching business. And that's both the big broad strokes and all the little practical how-to stuff. And some of that can just be learned. You know, you go learn it and then you do it. But the biggest challenge, I would say, was that in embarking on that learning, I also ended up stifling my heart, my soul, my beautiful wildness, my edge-walking message, and all that, you know, wisdom I have to share. And it was because of this misguided attempt to fit into a formula that I thought would help me succeed. And that really is because no one was offering the perspective that you do, Kaya, back then. obviously I didn't set out to stifle myself, but it happened. And What I would say, and I would bet a lot of you listening can relate to this, you know, I am a complex, deep thinking, I'm wild at heart, I'm maverick by nature, and I have this totally overstuffed medicine bag of transformative magic that I can bring to my work. And for most of my adult life, I've done a variety of really great work, but it's a lot of it's been out on the fringes. You know, leading whitewater rafting trips, teaching these innovative group communication processes, leading vision quests. I had this week-long retreat I designed and led in nature for women leaders using the medicine wheel. And it was all amazing work. It touched people deeply. But I did not know how to effectively promote it, enroll clients, fill my programs in any sort of sustainable way. And so none of my efforts got any real traction, and I didn't really have a business. And, you know, as you say in your book, Kaya, about the three parts of the visionary entrepreneur picture, I was solidly in the visionary, and I had no entrepreneurial sense. And so I was frustrated, and I decided, all right, I need to learn about business and marketing. And so I started taking a business building program and then another, and pretty soon, I seemed to become obsessive about it. It was like, I need to learn all of this stuff. And I learned some good things. But instead of learning how to shape my work in a way that honors the uniqueness of what it is so that it can thrive in the world, what happened instead was I tried to crawl inside of other people's models and blueprints. And I don't know what possessed me to do this at the time, but I dove into several intensive trainings so I could get started as a business coach, which at the time was a crazy divergence from the path I was on. Yes, I know. I know you know. And the thing is, now there's just such great, there's a great beauty in it, and it was an incredible gift, and there was a lot of wisdom in it. But at the time, it was kind of wild and wacky. And the other thing is, when I stepped into this world of online business, and this was like 10 years ago, you know, I was aware that aspects of it didn't line up with my values and my sense of the sacred. And I tried to hold true to myself and filter out what didn't fit and just, you know, hold on to the foundational business principles that seemed essential to keep. And, you know, I was somewhat successful and in other ways not successful. And so, you know, I would say I drank some Kool-Aid along the way. And it's like, going back to your model, Kaya, it's like I leapt from the visionary to the business realm. And instead of integrating them, I just went from one to the other. And, you know, what it did for me was that I lost myself for a while as a result. And so my truth-telling voice, it died up, and I thought, oh, I can't say that and still be a credible business coach. I should do this. I should say this. I should appear like this if I want to succeed. And, you know, I look back now at some of the things that I said and did and offered. You know, it's like I thought I had to talk about, you know, growing and building a six-figure business with feminine ease and grace and, you know, all that kind of stuff that just like everybody was talking about. And I fell into kind of parroting things that I was taught. You know, now, you know, it kind of makes me want to gag a little bit. So, what was that?
I did the same thing.
I know. And, yeah, I know. And I think we recognize that history in each other, and we supported each other in the healing and the recovery of our wildness in certain ways. And so, you know, essentially what I did was I lost for a while. I lost my uniqueness, my wildness, and it was this misguided attempt to try to make myself palatable and marketable. And much of my wisdom stayed hidden in my medicine bag. And I actually had people whose names you'd know now, they told me, it's so interesting that here we are sitting around a circle with women, and there's this feminine wisdom here. And I was told nobody wants that. People just want to know how to make money. Nobody cares about feminine power. So I was like, all right, back it goes into the medicine bag down at the bottom. And so despite this top dollar advice I was getting, I struggled to generate a decent income, a consistent income, and really it's because what I was trying to do wasn't aligned with who I am in heart and soul. And what I was creating was bland and boring and vanilla, and it lacked real vitality or inspiration. Heck, it didn't even inspire me, so why would it inspire anybody else? And thankfully, I'm not somebody who could do that for very long. And the turning point happened on a vision quest I was on. And do you want me to tell that story?
Sure.
Okay. So I was on a vision quest, and amongst other things, I lead vision quests. So I was out with a group of vision quest friends, and we were each doing our own quest. And on each of the 4 days, I did a medicine walk in each direction. And it's a medicine walk is an intentional walk in nature, taken to gain insight into a situation or get access to wisdom in response to a question you have. And so I was using the medicine wheel to guide me. The direction for this particular day was the north, which in the tradition that I had been taught is the direction of giving your gifts to the world. So it's the domain of business and leadership. And so I set off with this question, like along the lines of, what's the essence of my work and how does it really want to express itself? Because I was becoming clear on how it really didn't want to express itself, but I needed guidance into how it did want to. So I started off into the north, and I despite my best intentions, I could not find my way through this dense pine forest. There was no clear trail, except there was this big dirt road. And I could have walked that, but I was like, I don't want to walk a path that a lot of other people have already trampled. Like, I've already done that. I'm looking for my own path. And so I wandered around a bit, and I got nowhere. And then finally, I just surrendered, and I started walking to the east, which on the medicine wheel, that, as I've learned, it is the direction of spirit and new beginnings. And almost immediately, the forest opened up, and what had been dry and dead wood and difficult to navigate became lush, and this foot-high green grass and neon green moss, and it was just extraordinary. And so I walked it, and I found my path. And when I finally topped out on this kind of rounded dome of a hill, I could see way off in the distance, and there was this high-voltage power line kind of threading across the landscape. And you know, a power line can represent different things to different people and even different things from one day to another. But in that day, to me, it represented all the ways in which humanity has lost its connection to the greater web of life. And we've fallen into believing that our power comes from technology and from all the stuff that we've created. And in that moment, it just all came together, and I realized that my calling is to help evolve consciousness in the arena where we humans exchange value, which in our modern world is business. And so I'm here to bring spirit from the east into business and leadership from the north, and to honor and restore the sacred to how we do business so that it can become a force for healing and good in the world. And, you know, I have a lot of wisdom to offer in that arena. And so that's, you know, that's kind of the the challenge and how I was able to find my way to the wisdom that helped me through it. And it was like a fire. Like, it was like an alchemizing fire. How about that? Because it burned off a lot of crap. You know, it burned off limiting beliefs, erroneous assumptions, false identities, fear, doubt. And through that medicine walk experience, I got really great insight about the deeper truth of my work and my business and myself as the one who's carrying and leading it into the world. And the other thing is I learned how to listen to the soul of my business instead of pushing my business around or bossing it around or even trying to bullying it into how I thought it should be or how other people, gurus, you know, said I needed to make it look like. And you talk about this, you know, in your relationship circle, you know, with the relationship between your wild, wise woman and the soul of your business being at the very center. And it's like that, it's that important, that essential.
We're going to have to do a wrap-up at the end.
Okay. So let me just say that the more I've had the courage to listen to this innate guidance from the soul of my business. The greater the impact I've had, the more income I've generated, and it's evolving. Like, I am now starting a new business with Selena, who some of you have met, and right from the start, we're listening to the soul of what this new business is and how it wants to move into the world. And I tell you, it's a whole different way to be in business and grow in business and make your contribution to the world. So I think I'll leave it there.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful. God, you said so many amazing things. I mean, really, really. And I've heard the story before, but I've heard it a couple times, and I always get something else out of it. You know, it's really nice. You know, one thing that you said at the beginning, which I think a lot of people here can relate to, is that so many of us have gone through that fire of trying to fit in. And I was also told when I said, well, these are the people I want to work with, you know, visionary women, I was told, forget it, you're going to starve. You know, people don't want that.
Right.
People want to know marketing. They want to know how to make money. And the same thing, I started doing that. Exactly your story. And it wasn't me. I mean, I still do that, but not in that way. You know, it's like, oh, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
We've all come through. So.
And can I just acknowledge that times have changed? When you and I were told that, that was the common wisdom, you know?
Yeah, it was. It was common wisdom. But I think a lot of us changed, and we brought the change forward. I mean, we are the change in a way, because it didn't work for us, you know, and we had to do what we needed to do. So,
yeah. And yeah. I bow to you for being one who has this, who was willing to take a stand, first for yourself and then for everyone else who's here and hungry for this message.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I want to make sure we bring Jocelyn on a second here. So, Jocelyn, be ready. You're going to be on in a second. You know, part of it had to do with my developmental stage. You know, when I hit 60 years old, it was like time for me to just throw out the bullshit, really, and just be who I needed to be. If I wasn't going to do it then, it was never going to happen. So it gave me more courage to go against the grain and not to be that beige, vanilla, whatever you call it. You know, I just thought, this is who I am, you know, and what a relief to find a group of people that actually accepted it.
Yeah.
And still does. So, yay. Anyway, Susanna, thanks, Dave. You know, I might bring you back on, so.
Sure.
Well, so just hang in there. And
I'm here listening.
Yay, wonderful. So, Jocelyn, are you here and you're ready?
I am.
Yay, okay. I'm just going to give you a little introduction here. Jocelyn is the owner of Mozak Design. She's Jocelyn Mozak, a WordPress website company based here in Oregon. She was born and raised in the East Coast and received her bachelor's degree from Cornell and continued her studies at Stanford, where she obtained her master's in electrical engineering. I love this because you've moved away from that in a way, but haven't completely. Jocelyn works with service-based business and nonprofits. She's an expert in thinking outside the box and loves to joke that she has a magic wand. Just send her your issue and poof, it's fixed. Jocelyn, I've met because she came to me for business help, and that was, 8 years ago or something? And at that time, Jocelyn was an engineer, right? And she had quit after having children, and she had two babies at home, and thought, I need to do something, right? I need to do something with my brain and my creativity and all that, and decided to start building websites, right? And since that time, not only have I hired Jocelyn to rebuild my entire website, she keeps doing web work for me, and I love that. I love the fact, I tend to try to hire all my clients if I can, you know, but Jocelyn has a special place in my heart. Plus the fact that I think you were maybe 32 when we first started working together, and I love the fact, I wanted the diversity of ages in this group, so bringing you in, if somebody's in their 30s, is really, I'm really happy to have you here, and I know you have a lot to share anyway. So welcome, Jocelyn, and the microphone's yours. You have 10 minutes to give your amazing story and whatever you're going to say is great.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. And it's kind of good that you mentioned my age because I'm 39 at this point. And I got the opportunity to get a sneak peek and read Kaya's book. And I'm very much still planted. Well, I'm starting to transition out of it, but I'm in the mothering phase of my life. And I can see that in how my real life is and how my business life is. And so I'm starting to, I think, have those glimmers into the wisdom of Crone. So I'm starting to slowly move there. For me, being wise and wilder is really all about listening to my heart a little bit more than my head. I, as Kaya said, I am an engineer. I grew up doing what I was supposed to do. I was supposed to get straight A's, got straight A's. I was supposed to go to the right college, went to the right college. I was supposed to get a good job, got a good job. And I was 20-something making lots of money going, why aren't I happy yet? And I would say the first time that I really listened to my heart was when I had my kids. And here I was making big bucks, but I just wasn't happy. And the first time I did something which was a hard decision was to quit my job and stay home with my boys. According to my head, that made no sense because I made more money than what a daycare would cost, but my heart just knew it. And that was the first time I did a wild decision from my perspective. Everything else in my life had been so, like, by the book. It was completely irresponsible to quit my job, but I did. And that really landmarks the first wild choice in my life that I am so thankful for. The next one was starting my business. That was also, as a corporate person, seemed so irresponsible. And yet here I was, and I couldn't be happier. Kaya speaks about walking through fire. It wasn't easy to shift from being a corporate head person to trying to embrace a space that was completely different. I thought when I started my business, I had to act like a professional business person. And thank goodness I hired Kaya because she has nurtured me, much to my husband looking at me going, I don't know what you're talking about. She has nurtured me in stepping into myself, figuring out who I am, following my passions. And if I hadn't done that, I don't think I'd have the thriving business I have. What I love about having my own business is we can be ourselves. If I want to have, you know, an all-girl team, I can have an all-girl team. If I want to meet for a pedicure, I can meet for a pedicure. I can do it my way. And the more I do it my way, the better my business is. And I find, you know, as I work on embracing this piece of me that I'm scared to embrace for some reason. I don't know why. In our culture, you're supposed to be all about your head. And so I have fear about embracing my heart. But every time I do it, it works. Every time I look at my numbers and try to figure out how many clients I need, things just got kind of icky. And when I get into the space of, like, why am I doing this and I love doing it, the phone starts ringing again. And so I definitely feel like I'm in a transition period. But again, every time I embrace this part of me that feels so hard as an engineer to embrace, and I don't know if other people on the call feel the same way. For me, this is a hard one to embrace. But the more I embrace it, the happier I am, the more successful I am, and the more life just works, if that makes any sense.
Oh, yeah, it does to me.
So, yeah, so that's kind of, that's really, you know, that's really been what embracing and maturing. I think a lot of what I love about how you break it down is we really, I think, are maturing through life and getting, and as you said, as you got older, you finally said, the hell with it. and you know, and thank you for being a role model, so some of us might say, the hell with it sooner.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing I do with my kids. You know, we all rock down paths and we go, how can we make my child not come to this awareness so late in life? How can we give them this awareness sooner? It's fabulous to have people out there because I don't think women have that many role models in business. And I know part of my leaving Intel I had no role models to show me how to be a mom and a career person, and I was having a hard time, and I made the right choice for me, but we don't have enough role models. And so huge gratitude for you being a role model. And then, I got a sneak peek at your book by being able to edit it, and I see it as one of those books I'm going to pull off the shelf every once in a while to kind of re-remember I'm not alone, to re-remember this is, I don't want to say a phase, but we all go through a lot of the same things. We think we're unique, and yet, honestly, we're all going through a lot of the same struggles. And that's what's fabulous about the community you provide. You know, just in this fire circle where we've had a chance to connect with each other, you find out, wow, you know, we all have similar struggles, and we're all going through the same stuff. So.
Yeah. You said some really great things here. Yeah. Thank you so much. Yeah, and it's interesting how many people are writing in the chat. There's other engineers here, a couple of them.
Oh, yay, other geeks. You know, when I was at Intel, I had a high-level manager come by my desk. I was in my 20s, and he said, you've got an amazing technical skill and creativity. And I told my husband this, and he looked at me like I was cross-eyed. He's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah,
and as a web developer, I've, like, fulfilled that. I get to do creative visual stuff and geeky coding stuff. And so, like, I am living the strength that he saw in me. I'm living the two halves of myself.
You are.
So,
other
engineers.
You have both right and left brain, and I see that all the time with you. And I'm just going to say this to the group here, is that Jocelyn, I mean, I've worked with lots of web people during the time from when I started. My first website was in 1997, before there were even that many people doing them. So, but, you know, Jocelyn is like the best coder because you're engineering. You're so good at that. But it's not what you want to do all the time. I get that. But you've got the other part as well. It's just great. So I'm listening to all the people here, scientists and engineers. It's great. You know, you mentioned something about being a role model and how nice that is, you know, having somebody to say, to follow, for you to follow. And, you know, I didn't have that. There was nobody ahead of me, you know, and it's interesting. So that's part of where I wrote the book from. It's like, where's my role models that are older than me? There weren't any, you know, so except for Margaret Mead maybe and a few others, but yay. Anyway, Jocelyn, that was great. Thank you for sharing. It seems like your story touched a lot of people here, left and right brain people. And Phyllis says she's not an engineer, but she can relate. You know, and it's interesting listening to your story and listening to Susanna's. You know, I never, you know, I was a rebel really early on. I just want to share with you all. I was told what I was supposed to do and didn't do it. And I never hardly have worked for anybody else. I've been working for myself, my own business, since I was 24, you know. And I, like Susanna, I didn't have a clue of how to do business, you know, and it took me years to figure that out. And just like Susanna shared, I went the other direction and started reading all these books and looking for business help and completely left out the part in between the visionary. And in my little diagram in my book, when you get it, those of you that have ordered it will see that I have this really cool diagram that shows it's like two intersecting circles. The visionaries on one side, the entrepreneurs on the other, and where they overlap is personal growth in the middle. And that's the piece that we all have to do. We have to be willing to go to the bottom of our medicine bag, as Susanna said, or, you know, really go follow your heart, like Jocelyn says, and really face those parts of yourself, right? That are speaking to you, but you aren't listening to. So, yeah, it's great. You know, every single one of you that share here, it brings some amazing pieces in. So I'm going to just, I want to bring each of you back, Susanna and Jocelyn. Susanna, if you could just one brief thing, like a one-minute thing, offer one piece of advice for people, what would that be from your own journey and walking through the fire? What do you want to leave people with?
I would say, like, listen to your own soul and listen to the soul of whether you, it's the great, your great work, if you don't yet have a business, but think of it as your great work, and listen to the soul of your business. And it doesn't mean don't get guidance, but don't let the guidance eclipse those voices and the wisdom they have to offer.
Beautiful. Yeah, that says it all. Thank you so much. And Jocelyn, how about you? What would be one piece, what gem of advice you could offer to anybody here listening?
I'm thinking, I don't know, for me, the biggest piece that has set me on this whole journey came from hiring you, Kaya. So from that, I would say investing in yourself. My hiring you to support my business was a gift I gave to myself. So that was an important one. And then, yeah, just be yourself. The more you're yourself, the more you're going to shine. Don't be afraid that you won't appeal to everyone, because who cares? Honestly, you're going to appeal to people you love to work with. And so just let your own light shine, and it's going to work. It works. It really does. So don't be forgettable. Be memorable.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. That's a really great phrase. Don't be forgettable. Be memorable. Somebody could write that in the chat. That'd be cool. I love that. So, thank you both. It's been great listening to you both. And as I've been doing on every call, yeah, thank you, Denise, for writing that in there. I want to just read a teeny bit from my book, just a little piece here. And this is from the chapter I've been talking about called Success Portal, which is the visionary entrepreneur piece that Susanna was talking about. it says here, doing your business can be like starting to plant a garden in the spring, because you can envision the beautiful plants and eating the fresh veggies come summer, but then forgetting to water it or not getting around to fertilizing or pulling the weeds and expecting the plants to grow. And when they don't grow beautifully and bountifully, and some of them even die, you feel discouraged and wonder if the seeds you planted were bad. The thought crosses your mind that you might have had something to do with it, but you don't dwell there. Does that sound familiar? That was me 100%. So I know the challenge of choosing to grow a visionary business but not wanting to learn the new habits of tending the garden, which can mean the technical stuff or all that. I thought it took too much time. I didn't understand how to do it. I didn't enjoy it. But at the same time, I wanted the success and the cash flow. You might be one of those people that after a couple of years of pathetic gardening, you finally got your hands in the soil, did enough to have some success, and now you want to build a larger garden that includes fussier plants that need more tending, and all of your issues resurface, including the self-doubt, the questioning, and you realize these issues aren't going to go away. So you want to do the thing you love, whether it's coaching, painting, designing, healing, writing, or whatever. And like most visionaries, you can see the big picture of where you want to be. You can see yourself speaking to hundreds of people on stage, writing books that inspire thousands of people, or building a health center that you've dreamed about for years and years. But it feels like you have to cross a gulf as large as the Grand Canyon to just get to the place where you can do your work and be prosperous. So that's just one little part, and I go on there. I do want to mention that Jocelyn is, one of her stories is in this book, and there's a chapter I have called Seasons and Cycles, and it's, you know, talks about the three stages that women go through of maiden, mother, crone, and Jocelyn's story is in there, so you'll enjoy reading her story more when you get the book. Again, you can buy the book and be also able to get a lot of really cool bonuses with it, plus a signed copy, and you're going to get the book sooner than everybody else. You go to wiserandwilder.com. Plus, just to add on, I so appreciate any of you buying it early, because it's allowing me to, it's like a Kickstart. This is my version of a Kickstart. You know, people do Kickstarts to support a project, and they say, oh, I want you to donate so you can support my thing. I just couldn't get my head around doing that. But buying the book now does allow for me to have cash flow coming in earlier before I have to pay a lot more money going out, which is the way it works. So it's a gift for me, and I'm giving you a gift back by giving you the book early. and a lot of bonuses. Yeah, Susanna said you had me at the cover. Having browsed through it already, it's such a great book, and I love it. Oh, thank you so much. Yay. So, yeah, thank you so much for that comment. And I want to just tell you all that I know all of you are in different places right now where you are. Some of you are have a job that you want to quit, right? And you're not sure how to do that or when and all that. Others of you have a business already, and you're needing it to be more aligned. You want it to grow stronger. And whichever place you're in, this book will speak to you because it's not about what you need to do. It's about who you need to be. It's the topic we've been talking about the whole time, right? Yay. Yes, I'm sending it to you in Peru, Denise. And I looked at the cost, and it really wasn't much more. So for now, that's the other benefit. Regardless of where you are in the world right now, I'm just going to send you the book, okay? I went through a whole thing about figuring out international shipping, and truthfully, it's not that big of a difference, you know, depending where you are. So, yeah, I know, it's great. Isn't that wonderful that somebody here is from Peru? I love it. So regardless of where you are, you can get the book, and I'd love for you all to have it early. Plus, those of you that get it early, I want to say to you that I've got another special surprise I'm going to ask from you. When you get the book, and it'll be sometime in March, I want you all to take a picture of yourself holding the book and send it to me. It would be really cool. Because I'm going to be doing the regular launch for this book when it really comes out publishing. It's getting published on May 1st on Beltane, right? Those of you that know about different times of the year, Beltane's really special. It's that beginning of spring piece that Susanna talked about. It's a really great time to put something out to the world. And that's when it's going to come out on Amazon. And so having your photos with my book would be wonderful. So that's another little fun thing we're going to do. Okay, we've finished another amazing time here together. I'd love for you all for a second before we officially end. Okay, what have you taken away from today? I'd love to hear from all of you. Just something that you can share that you're taking away from the call today. It's always great just at the end for everybody to do that. And if you're in the chat, you can write that in there. If you're not in the chat, come back on the Facebook group. Come on the Facebook group and share what you're taking away from today. It'd be great. Yeah, it'd be fun seeing everybody holding the book all around the world, sort of our own little fire circle. Yeah. again, it's Wiser. The Facebook group, for those of you not in the chat, facebookgroup.com/groups/WiserAndWilder. If you haven't joined yet, just click join and we'll let you in right away. Okay? Tomorrow, we have another fire circle here with two amazing people. Really wonderful, Carolyn Ellis and Michelle Grace. Michelle Grace, they've both been on a Facebook page here, and then Michelle Grace has shared about the new moon ritual on Facebook group. You probably remember her post. And anyway, they're going to both be here tomorrow, and don't miss it because they're phenomenal, powerful women. And I know their stories are going to be heartfelt and wonderful as well. So, yay. So, yeah, I love that. Denise says, from what you said at the beginning, do not wait till you have a perfect message. Absolutely. I cannot say this again. And basically, all of us, all three of us today said it in our own ways. Don't wait because you just have to start doing it. You have to start being who you are. There is no perfect. It's just a process. So you just have to go for it. Yeah, Ingrid says that my business has its own soul, expression of your soul, not a thing, not an object to control. Absolutely. I mean, really, you have to listen to your business. Your business will tell you where to go, as Susanna said. It's beautiful. And when I started doing that, it's funny, the very first e-book I wrote was called The Spirit of Your Business, and it was sort of that same theme. And I never published it because I thought it didn't fit in, you know, to what I've been told to do. you know, I was told people aren't going to like that word spirit. I mean, really, I was told that, and that was like 10 years ago. It's amazing. Things evolve. Yeah, Susanna says you can never have it perfect by trying to figure it out in your head. Thank God. Because you have to get out there and do the work. In relationship with others, yes. Yay. Yeah, Denise, you love that title. I know, me too. I loved it as well. And it was actually good what I had written, but I was told, no, nobody's going to want that. Ah, I hope you're all getting this, not to listen. Yeah, and just one more thing before we end, I wanted to say to you that the cover of my book, I really love it, and I've gotten a lot of people that have said how much they love it. And it's not, you know, a couple people who are not my ideal tribe at all have said, I don't know, your cover is not going to work. It's not going to appeal to the masses. And I was like, absolutely, that's the whole idea. I wanted to appeal to the exact people I wanted to appeal to. Just like what Jocelyn said, not everybody wants to hire everybody, you know? My book isn't for everybody, but it's for a huge group of people, visionary women. I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of us, so, right? Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you for all your comments in the chat. Amazing stuff, your takeaways from today. Thank you all for being here. Thank you to Jocelyn. Thank you to Susanna. Yeah. Susanna says she remembers when I got that feedback. Yes, you were there. And yes, and you did shout out. Thank you. Yeah, we're a group of mavericks. I love it. Okay, see you all on the Facebook group. If you're not on there, join, because we can continue this conversation there. It's awesome. Love you all. I'll see you here again tomorrow, same place, same time. Have a wonderful day, all of you. Bye-bye.